It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 522 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week's episode features special guest James Aquilone from Classic Monsters Unleashed. He's got a Kickstarter going on right now that celebrates the 50th anniversary of Kolchak the Night Stalker, which was a supremely influential show that has changed horror forever when it comes to television and comics as well. He's an editor who is creating an all-new 100-plus page full-color graphic novel that's going to feature 10 startling stories, they say, chronicling the life of Monster Hunter reporter Carl Kolchak. It has an introduction by Richard Christian Matheson, and will have all kinds of goodies from many creators, including Peter David, the one that I remember the most. I've backed this project already, and I hope you will too. Once you've listened to the good things James has to say, there's a lot to get through in this episode. So let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast James Aquilone, who is a creator of horror good things. And let me make sure I get the list up here. You've written the Dead Jack series of novels, which has been optioned for TV and film, and also the editor of the Kickstarter record-breaking prose anthology Classic Monsters Unleashed, and the managing editor of Weird Tales magazine. And as we're speaking, James has a already successful, but still got plenty of room to go with the Kolchak the Night Stalker 50th anniversary graphic novel with all kind of big names associated with it. How's it going, James?
It's going great. The Kickstarter is going really well, and I love talking about Kolchak, so let's get into it.
Yeah, I have some questions about him because I know some about him, but I don't know as much as I'd like to know about him. But okay. People always get on me because I never do this right away. I don't get to it until later in the interview. This project will be funded if it reaches its goal, which is you've already zoomed past a 14,000.
Like the first, I think, hour or two.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now when you reach your goal by on Friday, actually it's Thursday night, the 10th of February at 12 a.m. is right. The way to describe it. So, really something. So, well, let's talk a little bit about Kolchak. How would you describe that character? What do you think people should know about Kolchak?
Well, Kolchak was a reporter. Who just always had a knack for stumbling upon these bizarre stories that would always involve a monster or some kind of supernatural creature. And a few times on the TV series, it would maybe be even delve into science fiction and some robots and stuff.
Mm-hmm. How did he get called the Night Stalker?
The first TV movie was just called the Night Stalker, and that was referring to the vampire.
Okay.
So I think when they made the TV show, the Night Stalker part of the name stuck. So then it seemed like that they were referring to Kolchak as the Night Stalker. So it was kind of played around there with the title. So it does get a little confusing, but the two TV movies didn't even have the name Kolchak in it. It was called The Night Stalker, and the second TV movie was called the Night Strangler. But then the TV series was called Kolchak the Night Stalker. So somehow Kolchak then became the Night Stalker.
And if I remember correctly, it lasted for one season on ABC, right?
Right. One season, 20 episodes.
Right, which is something. And as you and I were talking before we started record, its influence is still felt today. I was talking about with you about Chris Carter from The X-Files, who was strongly influenced by Kolchak. And it influenced the X-Files TV show, which is, you know, one of the great horror shows on television. As I was telling you, you know, before the X-Files came along, everybody was saying, oh, but we're too smart now. We can't be scared.
Right.
And then the X-Files came along, and as I was telling you, I would be screaming at the television screen, get away from the toilet, I'd be yelling. I'd always get a kick out of this. And Kolchak was that way, too. I mean, what do you think, and of course, I don't expect you to know everything. You're not an encyclopedia about Kolchak, but obviously you're interested in it. Did you have a monster that he encountered that you thought was the best one?
I like, you know, I'm into zombies, so I did like the zombie episode.
Okay, very good. Now, another thing that you and I were talking about before we started into recording, he's not your typical, quote unquote, leading man on television series or movies. You know, we're used to the younger coming of age guys, you know, the Twilight type lead characters who are, you know, who young girls swoon over and stuff like that. He was not like that at all. He was a much older character. And, you know, he wore the hat that kind of sat back on his head and stuff like that. And he was a journalist, which I'm something of a PR / journalist person. So I can relate to what he was doing. I've never run into a vampire, though, I have to say. So that was something about him. I'm always kind of curious as to how do you think that happened? How was it that he did that? Was he just knew when they were there, like he had like a sixth sense about that? How did that work?
Well, that was never explained on the TV show or the TV movies. So that was always something that I always questioned. You know, this is back in the day when they did episodic TV. So it wasn't serialized. So every episode had to be a self-contained episode. And you had to understand the show just from that, you know, one show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was never connected. It was never like Kolchak ever put it, you know, all together. And it's like, why every week am I, you know, running into a monster or something? So it was always like a new thing. Every time he ran into a vampire or a zombie, it was like he was doing it for the first time. But that's, you know, that's how we had shows back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like every show, like no matter what happened during the episode, by the end, everything would have to turn back to normal, you know? Mm-hmm.
Is there a place that people, if they wanted to watch the episodes, is there a place they could go and see it these days?
Yeah, you can stream it for free on the NBC app. It's not Peacock, but it's the NBC app, and they have this commercials in it. So, but you can stream all the episodes there. The TV movies, I don't think they're available to stream, but they are on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Free, but I think just somebody put them up and no one took them down yet.
Okay, well, that's good. Leave them up there because I hope
see everything for free.
I hope that what you're doing is going to help increase the popularity of these older shows because it's, you know, it's so funny that, like I was saying, that its influence is still going on. You know, this guy with no powers and no special abilities who kept coming across unique creatures and things like that all the time. Did he ever get any of the stories published about the creatures he ran into?
He would get like bits and pieces of it, or like he had to be like a little more like vague about it. I don't think they ever really allowed him to just explicitly say, you know, he ran into a vampire. But most of them, no, he didn't. That's another, you know, contention a lot of people have with the show. It was like, well, how did he keep his job if he never got anything published? Did Kolchak ever, you know, investigate or report on like a regular story? So, old shows, again, they didn't really delve into the background of the character at all. You never even saw Kolchak in his apartment or his home.
Your job as a writer of a show was to put the character back where he started so somebody else could do it next week.
Right, yeah, and start all over again. And they was worried about, like, you know, what would happen when these shows went into syndication.
Mm-hmm.
So they were always worried that, like, people probably wouldn't watch it in sequence. So mm-hmm. They never wanted to do, like, serialized shows. They didn't really start until, like, you know, Sopranos.
So it's really interesting because it would be, honestly, I would be curious to see a new Kolchak show with the modern sensibilities in, you know, involved to it.
It was a reboot in 2005.
How'd that go?
It didn't go well.
Oh,
I think it was Fox. I think it was 2005. Stuart Townsend, he played Kolchak, but he was like a kind of cool and hip, younger version of Kolchak. I don't, he didn't even wear the hat or anything. I think he had like a leather jacket. And, and it was, I think it was one of the writers from the X-Files was doing it. And they made it much more like the X-Files. It was a little like darker, and you know, they gave him like a wife who was like killed mysteriously, and like that was like his motivation for hunting down all these monsters every week.
That's so interesting because we've already got the X-Files. We don't need another X-Files.
You can't recreate that show.
No, so it's just this. So this, the book that you're doing, the 50th anniversary. God, 50 years. It's hard to think, believe that. God, since those first movies came. Now you and I were talking again before we had a really good conversation before we actually got to recording about where Kolchak came from. Do you want to repeat some of that? Let people know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people really understand where the character, you know, his origins and stuff.
Yeah, because the first two TV movies were written by Richard Matheson. He's the guy who wrote I Am Legend, and he wrote some of my favorite episodes of Twilight Zone, like Terror at 20,000 Feet. So a lot of people think that Richard Matheson was the one who created Kolchak, but that's not the case. The Kolchak first came about was through a novel. It was an unpublished novel by Jeff Rice. And Jeff Rice was a reporter, so that's where he got all this from. He was a reporter in Las Vegas. And, you know, the first TV movie, The Night Stalker, was set in Vegas. So he took some of it from his own experience, obviously not the vampire part. And Jeff Rice, he had sent his novel to Richard Matheson's agent, you know, seeing if he can get it published. And then Richard Matheson's agent turned around and sold the rights to the book to ABC for a TV movie. He got his client, Richard Matheson, then attached to write it. At the time, the agent hadn't signed Jeff Rice. And so I don't think Jeff Rice knew that this deal was already made. And then he signed Jeff, which we probably really didn't have much of a choice at that point. So then the novel came out after the Night Stalker TV movie came out in 72. And then they did The Night Strangler the next year. And then Jeff Rice wrote the novelization of Richard Matheson's teleplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is great. And of course, then it spawned into a one-year TV show.
But then the year after that.
Yeah, and that's haven't we, several comic versions of Kolchak over the years?
Yes, Moonstone has been publishing Kolchak comic books, prose novels, and short stories for, I think, like the last 15 years. So there's actually a lot of stuff out there.
Wow. Now, let's get to your Kickstarter and talk about that, because I'm kind of curious. You've got a graphic novel and got some famous names associated with it, like Peter David, who I know, and some other good names. All kinds of good people involved with it. David Avalon, Gabriel Hardman, Kim Newman, all kinds of great, and Rodney Barnes. I'm sure I'm going to leave out half the good people when I say that, but it's really an interesting, how many pages is in the graphic novel?
That keeps growing. I mean, at first we said 100, then we said 120, but I think it's going to be over 140 because we just added Gabriel Hardman. It seems this week we're going to be adding somebody else. So by the time this airs, we'll probably would have already added him. Although I don't want to say until but he's a pretty big name in horror comics. Ooh. So would be 12 stories.
Wow.
And we're doing there are at least 12 pages each story. So it's going to be a pretty big book, and that's just the book we're doing. With just the comic book stories, because then we're doing another version, a deluxe edition, which is going to have all the comic book stories and then 10 prose short stories. And that's going to be a really big book. That's going to be at least 200 pages.
Wow. Wow, because we're recording this early, and with you're already, as we're talking, you're around $75,000 towards your $14,000 goal, which is, you know, that's a good place to be. You know, congratulations on that. That's really excellent.
Thanks. Yeah, I totally didn't. I mean, you always think, this could blow up, but then, you know, on the other hand, you think, well, you never know. I mean, you know, it was also a couple of weeks just after Christmas, so I had no idea how this would do, but it definitely did. You know, it went beyond my expectations.
One of the things that interests me, and I'm fascinated by, is what you call the lineup. And there's a Kolchak story in every decade, like basically from when he's like a teenager, I guess, all the way through until the 2000s. And somewhere I got the notion that there might be a what we call the quote-unquote final Kolchak story. Is that true? Are we going to see the last of the great Kolchak stories?
Yes, we're gonna see his final case. I don't know if we'll see him die, but we're following the original timeline of the TV show and the TV movies and the book. So Kolchak is actually, in his bio, he's born the same year as Darren McGavin. 1922. So Darren McGavin would turn 100 years old in this May, because he was 50 when The Night Stalker aired. So it would be difficult to have a 100-year-old guy still, you know, doing this. So we said we'd have to, you know, he would have to, you know, I mean, McGavin died in 2006. So in my mind, then, you know, if you're going by the original timeline, then that would be the, you know, Kolchak's lifespan too, from 1922 to 2006. Now, Moonstone, their books before this, they always place Kolchak in the present, and he's always like a 50-year-old guy in the present. So it took some convincing to get the publisher to do this, because he was afraid that we would just destroy all of his continuity. But this is just going to be like a one-off type thing, and this is like a special book. So this isn't within the Moonstone continuity. So we can kill off Kolchak, but he still will live on in the other Moonstone books.
Because it's really interesting how every decade you have a Kolchak story. Kolchak in the 30s, Kolchak in the 40s, Kolchak in the 50s. And that's the one I'm particularly looking forward to, with Peter David and Jakey Woodward, who work well together. I'm going to be doing that. And then 60s, and then every decade until we get to the 2000s.
And we have several in the 70s. So that's the prime Kolchak time. So we have I think we have four now, because we added Hardman. So at least four.
Really good. Are we going to see new monsters, new horror that we haven't seen before?
Yeah. So one of the stories set in the 70s by Tim Wagner, he's going to have were-rats. And I don't even know what that's going to look like. So I'm interested in what that is. We do go back to the Night Stalker. Tim Newman's doing it's basically like an alternate ending to the Night Stalker. What if Janos spoke to Kolchak and like told his origin story. So that's really cool, and we have all the art for that, and it looks amazing.
Well, you've got some great artists too. Clara Meath, I happen to know, and she's a great artist. Just terrific. And so you've got some good people doing that. So like J.K. Woodward, who I mentioned, another great artist. It's really going to sparkle, I think, the art. And so now, let's talk about, if you want to be in, get involved, because I've already backed this. It's just because I can't wait to see what it happens. You've got different levels. You've got the one-shot comic book. That's a graphic novel, I think. And then you've got the deluxe version of the PDF. The anthology hard or soft cover, and then the John Jennings print with the anthology. Are any of the levels that contain the previous Moonstone stuff, or is that not part of this?
No, everything is brand new.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we don't have any of the old stuff. Well, the one-shot comic, that has a cover by Dan Brayton. Mm. That was actually a Moonstone cover, but it was never published.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I saw that, and it fit my story perfectly because the image is of Kolchak standing in front of like Satan. And my story is about the Satanic Panic in the 1980s. So when I saw that cover, I said, that would be perfect to use. So let's do a comic with just three of the stories from the anthology, including mine. And we got to use this cover. And Dan even agreed to sign some copies, but those sold out really fast.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things. If you go down to the bottom of the stuff, there's a whole bunch of levels that have already been backed and they're already gone. So
yeah, we sold out a lot of stuff. The signed stuff goes really fast.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your story. It's Kolchak in the 80s. Can you give us like a TV guide description of what happens in your story?
But yeah, that's set in 1988, and that's Kolchak is now working like for like a Weekly World News type tabloid. And then he's sent to investigate a story about like a missing girl in this small town, and her boyfriend, who's like a goth kid, he's arrested. And then they're all blaming like the Satanic Panic because they think all these goth kids in town are devil worshippers.
Okay. That's a good question. Do these stories all interact with each other? They're all within the same continuity. Like one thing doesn't happen much because sometimes when you watch TV shows and all the continuity is right out the window, and all the characters will die and then the next thing come back like that never happened. Are these like that, or are these do these tie together? What's the continuity like in the book?
Well, some of them will tie together. The continuity is that we see Kolchak like aging, and this is him like progressing, like going from job to job. We won't kill somebody off, say, in like the first story, and then bring him back. So that it'll be in the same universe. Kim Newman's Night Stalker story will connect with the last story. But I don't want to give that away, but that'll involve some of the stuff that's going on in the Night Stalker. And throughout it, there'll be like little connections here and there. But each story will be a self-contained full story. And then we're going to try to wrap things up in the last story and try to maybe give some sense, like we were talking before about, like, why was this happening? Why was Kolchak always stumbling upon these monsters? And those are questions that were never answered on the TV show. But we're going to try to at least hint and give some answers.
Cool. Very cool. Because one of the things on the Kickstarter page, which, by the way, it's Kolchak, the Night Stalker, 50th anniversary graphic novel. That's the way to find it. There's a story preview. We're talking about Kim Newman's story. Mm-hmm. It's called Interview with the Night Stalker. I love that. That's a great, great title. And you show some of the pages on there. And there's a great I love it when Kolchak is, let's just say he's surprised. Something – The monster that he's investigating shows up,
right?
And he has to defend himself against it. So really, the thing about him, I think, is he's always the underdog. He's right. Always outclassed. He's he's fighting monsters that are much stronger than he is, and somehow he manages to survive, which is really, that's the thing. We're always like, because honestly, if we were in that same situation, we'd be lucky to get out alive. So the fact that he does that is always one of the endearing things about him. I just think that's great. And you see some of that in the preview, that he is really outclassed.
That one, things get like a little, sketchy for Kolchak. It seems like he's gonna bite it. But
yeah, he's back for the next story.
That's in the middle of the book, so obviously he survives.
Yeah. It's great fun. And you have other previews too, the Satanic Panic 88, Enemy Within has a couple pages and stuff. Really a lot of, you know, great, great product, I think, for these kinds of things.
It's great. We have a lot of the art is already done.
Really? Okay. Do you have an idea when the book's going to be printed and distributed?
We're hoping to have it out by Halloween.
Oh, boy, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I have half of this. David Avalone actually just sent me his script. I think I have half of the scripts. 10 pages are completely done, you know, colored and lettered. And we might have like another 5 or 10 pages that are penciled. So we're pretty well into it.
Good. Well, that's great. Well, of course, you'll keep people aware as progress is made. And that'll be good to do like that, because I'm so glad that the support has been so strong for that. And you know, because a lot of people would consider, oh, this was a lost show from the back in the 70s, and nobody even knows that kind of stuff anymore. But you know, as we well know by franchises like Star Trek and other shows that were back in that era and that time. They keep coming back, and they have lots of legs, as they like to say, to keep going and stuff like that. So, tell me, what was it about? How did you get involved in doing this this Kickstarter with Kolchak? Was there you obviously know a lot about Kolchak, but were you a big fan, and that's how this got started?
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Kolchak and Darren McGavin. Another one of my favorite movies was A Christmas Story. So I always knew Darren McGavin since I was a kid, and I knew this show. But I had done another Kickstarter last year called Classic Monsters Unleashed, and that was a prose anthology. And those are short stories based on Frankenstein, Dracula, and all the old monsters. And that did pretty well. That ended up being the highest funded horror prose anthology in Kickstarter history. Prose doesn't make as much money as comic books, but that did pretty well. So then after that was done, I was thinking of what to do for my next project, and I knew that I definitely wanted to do a comic book. And then I was thinking Moonstone would be a great publisher, because they have a lot of great licenses. They have characters like the Green Hornet, and they got Kolchak. So I was thinking it would be perfect if Kolchak just happened to have like an anniversary or something, because you need a hook for the Kickstarter. You need something to make it special. And so when I Googled it, it turned out that the 50th anniversary of the Night Stalker was this January, and it was just perfect timing. So I just came up with a proposal, and I emailed Joe Gentile at Moonstone, and he said, "This sounds great. Let's do it." And then I started work on it in, I think, June.
Wow, that'd be great. So, as far as like writing your story, but how long did that take?
That didn't take me too long. It took me like maybe a few weeks to do that.
That's good. Very good. That's because, of course, if you're into the character, it's kind of easy to make those things happen. So.
Yeah, if you're into the show, you kind of know like the Kolchak tropes. There are certain things you just kind of have in there. Like Kolchak has to pester the cops, you know. Of course, it has to be a monster. People have to not believe him. And you have to have like that witty banter. So that was fun. It was actually really fun to write.
So this book is being published by Moonstone?
Yes.
Okay, so they're actually going to, you can get the Kickstarter versions, and then they're also going to sell it on comic book stores and stuff like that?
I'm not sure. We're going to have to print a good number of these books. We probably will have some left over. So I would assume that whatever's left over, we will sell through Moonstone. Okay. I don't know if he's going to put them out in comic. I mean, it depends on how many we have left. Because after that, then it's in Moonstone. See, this is going to be completely funded by the Kickstarter. So after that, then it's in the publisher's hands. So then they would have to print these books. And these are big books, too. And they would be expensive to print another run. I would say they're interested in getting through the Kickstarter.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's the most important thing. As we're talking, of course, this is a little early. You've got 1,100 backers, more than 1,100 backers. So you know you're going to sell at least 1,100 books.
We've sold like 2,000, I think.
Oh, really? People are buying extras. Okay.
Yeah, people are some people are buying all three. Or people adding on. So if you buy, say, like the hardcover, you can add on all the other books, and a lot of people are adding on the one-shot comic. Some people are buying all three. So so 1,100 backers, and I think we're getting up there to about 2,000 print books.
Wow!
I mean, we sold a lot of PDFs too, but a lot of print books.
You know, you have to wonder, with all this success you're having, might we see another Kolchak book coming up from you after this is completed?
I hope so. I mean, Moonstone has always been publishing Kolchak, and I think there was a Kolchak book that came out just a few months ago, and I know it's going to continue doing Kolchak. So it seems like we probably most likely will be doing something else. It might be on Kickstarter. It might not. I don't know. The Kickstarters are a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. And then that's the daily heart attack. You know, of course, you're past that. You know, when you sit there and your goal, you're looking at it and you're slowly getting towards it. And every time you refresh, it doesn't change. And then you worry. People say it's that they get a heart attack. No one's ever going to support it. I'm done. It's finished. And that's the thing about that. It's great where you are. That's just you deserve great.
I hate those. I do not want to be in a campaign where we fund at the end. I don't think I can handle that. So luckily, all my Kickstarters are funded either on day one or within the first 3 days, because that's really stressful.
What happens if you hit $100,000?
That's what I'm aiming for. I mean, I think we're on track to do more than 100K.
Wow.
Because we still have 16 days left. Right now, the last week, the last 7 days, we've been averaging at least $2,000 a day. And so it actually seems to be getting stronger. And then the last 3 days of a Kickstarter are always your second biggest. So you get a bump.
Yeah.
So we're in pretty good shape, and that's what I wanted. That was my goal. My real goal was to hit 100K.
Oh, really?
Six figures. That sounds good.
That is a huge accomplishment, because there are many Kickstarters I know that never get to the 14,500.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's modestly priced, you know, to do that, which is, you know, sometimes I think it's better. I mean, I've seen people who put a dollar as the goal, so they right away they're going to make it.
Yeah, because this was like a product that was going to happen regardless of the Kickstarter. You know, already thousands of dollars were invested before we even launched it. So it was one of those projects that, like, it's going to happen. We're going to do it. So the goal really isn't that important. You just want to kind of hit that goal and then move on.
Well, it's a great way to celebrate it, you know. It would be nice if somebody would do like a TV special or something to celebrate this. Well, mention the book in there.
I would love to see like a Kolchak, you know, like a documentary about like you know, how it survived, and because there's a huge fandom of Kolchak.
Talk to Chris Carter.
Yeah.
All David kinds.
Chase. David Chase was who's created the Sopranos. Was a writer on the original series.
Wow. See, there's all kinds of stories to be told there, which would be great to see. And so much fun, because it's going to be fun to see how this works. I'm going to be really fascinated to see the stories. It sounds like you're going to challenge him and maybe take him where he's never been before. I mean, that'll be fun for us to see new and different monsters and things like that, because I would love to see something. Because, you know, I'm interested, because vampires, I always worry, have kind of run their course.
Right.
Are you going to have a vampire story in there?
Well, we have the Night Stalker one, so that's the vampire. So you kind of got to put him in since like it began with vampire. Yeah, but I had said, okay, enough vampires, because even when I did Classic Monsters Unleashed, which was, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein, and everybody wanted to write a vampire story.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up with like five Dracula or Dracula related stories, and I had to cut the others and tell people, okay, enough with Dracula, because people love vampires though, even though some people are down on it, but it they are popular and people love to write vampire stories.
Well, vampires are like mutants to me. You know, mutants are like young models. You know, a vampire, it used to be in the older vampire stories, they were not that good looking.
Right.
You know, and to me, when I see it, saw like, I couldn't bring myself to watch Twilight. I just couldn't. That was just too out there for me. And I always think, like, the same thing with mutants. You know, mutants are good looking people. And I'm always like, you know, they should have like hands sticking out of their foreheads and stuff like that. Strange, well, like, mutation. Like
Nosferatu.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And that's the kind of stuff that I think monsters, that's scarier to me than to have, you know, a Twilight version of the.
Yeah, we want to have Twilight. But that was one of the things I had told the writers. I said, I want to amp up the horror element, you know, make it a little bit more about the monster and make it scary, but, you know, still have the humor in it, but make it like a true horror story.
Mm-hmm. That horror should be scary in my mind.
Yes.
You know, and some people don't want horror to be too scary. Some people use suspense instead of horror. And I'm okay with suspense. It's good. But, you know, it'd be nice to vary the stories a little bit and have different stuff, which I'm sure you're going to do. It's going to be great fun. So, okay, now let me say again that this is going to, because of the amount you've already raised, it's going to reach its goal on Thursday, February the 10th at midnight. At night that time. So you want to make sure this is going to post a few days before that comes. So be sure, after you get done listening to this interview, to get to the Kickstarter. And again, it's called Kolchak the Night Stalker 50th Anniversary Graphic Novel. So you want to be sure to get there. And it's going to be great stuff. I'm really looking forward to this, because I never used to be a big horror fan, but now I'm getting into it a little bit more. And so for me, I'm really looking forward to this book.
You know, from the art and the scripts that I've read, everything has been like really amazing. So I'm really happy with the way it's turned out. And, you know, everybody involved in this is like an all-star. So you clearly can't miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, I think, except for maybe one or two, have worked for Marvel and DC. And everyone's done amazing work before. And they're all big Kolchak fans, so they really stay true to the original character.
That'll be great to see. That's going to be good stuff. Now, as I mentioned in the description, we'll talk about. Can you describe to us the Dead Jack series that's been optioned for TV and film? What's that about?
Well, I have three novels in the Dead Jack series, and then there's about three short stories. And Dead Jack, he's kind of, you know, he's certainly kind of similar to Kolchak. He's a zombie detective, and he's addicted to fairy dust, and he does cases in an alternate universe called Pandemonium. And Pandemonium is this place where all of the monsters from our world were banished. And this happened in the 1940s, so it's like forever in the like 1940s Manhattan, but a Manhattan filled with vampires and ogres and fairies, and Jack has his hat, he's got his fedora, and he's got his brown suit like culturally blue, but it's similar like that, and it blends horror and humor.
Hmm. Well, those two go well together, I think. Now, talk a little bit about, too, the other thing. You talked a little before about the classic Monsters Unleashed. One thing about Kickstarter, it always intrigues me, how successful anthologies can be on Kickstarter. You know, because in regular comics, you know, in shops and stuff like that, it doesn't seem like anthologies sell that well. But yet you go to Kickstarter and I keep running into anthology after anthology. And you said that Classic Monsters Unleashed was a big success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, anthologies usually don't do so well. And when I first pitched the Classic Monsters Unleashed to Crystal Lake Publishing, they had said to me, well, we're not doing anthologies anymore because they really don't sell.
Yeah.
So I said, well, wait, I got a really good idea, I said. And I said, what if we do it on Kickstarter? So I sent in this idea about the classic monsters. And then they said, all new stories on based on all the classic monsters. And I said, oh, that sounds great. And I said, we'll do it on Kickstarter. So you don't have to worry about money. We're going to completely fund it through Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So he really couldn't say no to that. So we put that together and we had another amazing lineup. We had Jonathan Mayberry is in that. And we have Richard Christian Matheson. He's the son of Richard Matheson, who wrote the first two the Kolchak TV movies.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Wagner is in that. And Joe Lansdale. And that we did on Kickstarter last March, and that raised $57,000.
Wow.
Oh, and very we have Frazetta art is in.
Wow.
So I licensed some art from the Frank Frazetta estate, and we mm-hmm. have he has this really awesome painting of Frankenstein and Dracula. Dracula's holding this one of his brides. I was like, we've got to use that. And he has a Headless Horseman painting and another one of the Wolfman. Mm. So I licensed four pieces. We put Frazetta art. Colton Worley, who also is doing Kolchak, he did the cover. He did eight illustrations.
Wow.
Interior illustrations. So it's packed with illustrations. We got the Frazetta art was just in the Kickstarter edition. Mm-hmm. But now it's going to be available like on Amazon and then bookstores starting on July 12th.
Okay. Is that the same publisher?
Actually, we have several publishers because when the Kickstarter getting really big, we brought in another publisher. That's Black Spot Books. So Black Spot Books is working with Crystal Lake Publishing, and Black Spot is helping us to get the print books into bookstores, which they already have. I heard because they're ramping that up now in the promotion. And I heard they gotten a lot of sales for Barnes & Noble. So that was something I really wanted because I never had a book in a bookstore.
Wow. And
then we sold the audiobook rights. This is during the Kickstarter. We sold the audiobook rights to it. So Blackstone Publishing is going to put out the audiobook this summer. Wow. And then we sold the Italian translation rights, Independent Legion. So I ended up getting four publishing deals. Well, I already had Crystal Lake, so I got three new publishing deals during the Kickstarter. Wow. So that was also a crazy Kickstarter campaign.
I swear that some people are watching Kickstarter because I've seen people, they have a comic, and while it's in a Kickstarter, before it's even been successful, they sell the rights.
Yeah, people are watching because I'm getting messages from people who are interested. So I don't know where they're seeing it. Maybe there are like producers and publishers and agents and stuff that maybe – I guess they monitor. I don't know because I got a bunch of messages from the last Kickstarter and even the Kolchak people are really interested in it. So there might be other deals involving Kolchak in the future. I don't know because you never know with these things. But a lot of people have reached out to me.
Good. Well, now, of course, that leads to the question. If we want to keep up with what's going on with these good things, how do we follow you on social media?
Well, you can go to jamesaquilone.com and all my social media accounts are connected there. And on Facebook and Twitter, I'm there under James Aquilone.
Okay. So that'd be easy to see. And according to what it says on Kickstarter, you also have deadjack.com.
Oh, yes. I have a bunch of websites. Yeah, Dead Jack has his own dedicated website, and you can check out all the books there, and you can read even the first chapters and stuff like that, and see some of the artwork.
Now, one last thing is you listed that you're the managing editor of Weird Tales Magazine. I know very little about that. Can you fill us in on what Weird Tales Magazine is?
Well, Weird Tales was and is a pulp magazine It came out, I think it was like 1923. So I think next year is the 100th anniversary of Weird Tales.
Wow.
And Weird Tales is mostly known for publishing Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard. Hmm. So Weird Tales published Call of Cthulhu and most of Lovecraft's early stories.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The first Conan the Barbarian stories were published in Weird Tales.
Wow.
And so, and then later on, Ray Bradbury started in with Weird Tales, and Robert Bloch, you know, who wrote Psycho. So it was like the premier like horror pulp magazine back in like the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Then it stopped publishing in the 50s, and then it was revived like in the late 80s. And this is the version that's continued on from the late 80s. And Jonathan Mayberry is the editor in chief now.
How often does it come out?
It's been coming out only like once a year, but they just signed a big publishing deal with Blackstone Publishing, and they're getting their own imprint. So they're going to start putting out Weird Tales novels and anthologies, and I believe Blackstone will be involved in putting out the magazine as well, starting with not the next one, but the one after that. And I think they're supposed to be putting out 3 issues this year.
Wow. That's good because, you know, magazines and stuff like that, with the advent of the internet, well, that's a question to ask, though. Is this content available online?
You can get – we do have a print version, which we're one of the few magazines still doing a print version. But you can get it in e-book, too. And since Blackstone is an audiobook producer, it comes out on audiobook, too. So you can get e-book, audiobook, or print.
Cool.
And you just go to weirdtales.com.
Okay. Wow, that's great. So this is obviously a lot of stuff. Are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of? That's going to keep you busy, I imagine.
Well, we do. The Classic Monsters Unleashed became so successful that the publishers then decided to do it as a series. Oh. So every year we're going to put out an Unleashed anthology. And the next one is Shakespeare Unleashed. Which will be horror stories based on Shakespeare's plays and characters.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to probably do the Kickstarter this summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. I never would have thought of that. That's great.
Yeah. I can't wait to do that. I mean, we already have some really big names too attached to that. And I think the art's going to be really awesome too. So that's going to be fun.
Very good, very good. Wow, you're a busy guy. Like, you're good things. So, once again, it's Kolchak, the Night Stalker 50th Anniversary Graphic Novel. It's on Kickstarter. It's going to conclude on Thursday night, February 10th at midnight. So, don't wait until then. When you get done listening to this interview, be sure to go out there and find that and be able to support it, because I think it's going to be great fun. This is going to be a book that I think people, particularly if it comes out around Halloween, it couldn't be better timed.
Yeah, hopefully we can do that.
Yeah, I think I always tell people, think of things like that. When you're going to release a horror book, Halloween is your prime time.
You always have to get it before Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, before Halloween, that's the time. The day after Halloween, everybody turns off the horror stuff.
Right.
But if you can get it before, I always tell the story about Grant Morrison and his Klaus book. He did a Klaus book, and it was a mini series, and it went for 7 issues, and it started in the Christmas season, and it was May, and they're still selling Christmas season books.
Right.
And nowadays they don't do that anymore. I think they learned their lesson. Because now it comes out the week, the Wednesday before Christmas, they put out a new Klaus book from Boom Studios. So I think they learned their lesson. And I think, but you got that. That's the great way to do it.
Yeah, much easier to sell horror stuff in October.
Yeah, that is a smart move, I have to say. Really great. So, James, just keep doing the wonderful stuff. Congrats on the success of Kolchak, and even more success, hopefully, as you move forward. And hopefully we get to talk with you about future projects as they become available.
Yeah, thanks so much. This is a lot of fun. And I got like tons of projects, so I'll probably be talking to you in a few months.
That'll be great.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.